blessed by a wonderful worship team and Maddie Hodge leading worship. She grew up in this church as a proud young adult, one of our own here, and her leading is just a great joy that we can see and be a part of here. So, Happy New Year! Happy 2026. You believe? I was just thinking the other day, I'm like, what did it just 2016? And some of us are like 2006, and some of us are like, what about 1986, right? I mean, it's like time just goes and goes by quickly. I'm Chris, by the way. I'm the pastor here at Table Life Church, and I have good news for you. You have perfect church attendance for this year. It's amazing, right? And whether you're here or you're online, too, you can go and give Grandma a call if you're able to do that and say, I have perfect church attendance, Grandma. Be proud of me today. So I'm glad you're here for the first Sunday of 2026. Great to start off strong together. And yes, we are in what's called Epiphany Sunday. So you see, the building here is still decorated. We're continuing to celebrate the Christmas season. And the story of Epiphany, or Epiphany Sunday, is it relates to the story of the Magi or the wise men coming to visit the Christ child. And we know historically that probably happened like 2 years after Jesus was born. So you're like nativity sets that have like shepherds and angels and wise men all together. Probably didn't happen like that. Sorry to burst your bubble, but like, you know, that kind of merges them all together. So this is probably about 2 years after or so that we're told of a story where these magi from the east, so think about thousands of miles, like in Asia, away from Israel. They're thousands of miles from the east. And these are very educated men. They had studied all kinds of religions. Many of them were from Persian descent. There may have been three, there may have been 30. Scripture is not clear. We tend to characterize them as three because there's three gifts that they bring. But anyway, they see this star over Bethlehem that rises up there, and they believe the star to mark the birth of a king. And traditionally, that was what was thought. So these were not Jewish men, by the way. These were called Gentile men, pagan men, other religions. And they traveled thousands of miles from the east to come and worship Jesus, or at least to find him, at least to start out there, right? And so where do they come first? They come to Jerusalem. Jerusalem, which is kind of the main city, the big city, the place where you would think a king would be born. And who do they meet there? Well, Matthew tells us they meet the current king. Haha, his name's King Herod. And King Herod, he was a very interesting individual. And you can imagine the news of a birth of a king is probably not good news for a current king, right? So when these magi come, they come and they see Herod, and they basically quote scripture. This is really funny. They quote Herod's own scripture to him, even though they're not believers at all. And they quote from the book of Micah chapter 5, which talks about this birth of a Christ child, the Messiah to be born in Bethlehem. And King Herod, his reaction is, well, when you find him, let me know. So I too can go and, we're going to do air quotes here, worship him, right? You know what that means. I'm going to go worship him, like all that along. And so the Magi depart, they go to Bethlehem, they find the Christ child, they deliver gold, frankincense, and what? Myrrh, right? All these wonderful gifts that you would give a little baby. Well, anyway, it's to honor him as a king, right? That's the idea here. And so they give him gifts. And then it's very interesting. Matthew tells us in his gospel, Matthew 2, and having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, I wonder why, they returned to their country by another route. Interesting story. Lots of voices in that story that are directing these wise men, these wise individuals. Lots of voices, a voice of Herod, a voice of God. So today, I want us to talk about voices and noises. Voices and noises. And question for you as we start today. Has a voice or a noise ever threatened to misdirect you? Think about that. Has a voice or a noise ever threatened to misdirect you? Just like these magi that were told to return to King Herod, let him know where, you know, has a voice or a noise ever threatened to misdirect you? Or maybe if you're like me and you're in the car with some friends or some family and you have the radio on and then like your favorite jam comes on and you're going to be like, I want to sing along to this one, right? And then everybody's like talking and you're like shushing them, trying to be quiet. Have voices or noises ever gotten in the way of something that you needed to hear? Has a voice or a noise ever gotten in the way of something that you wanted to or desperately needed to hear? Because it happens. And I think without noticing it, a lot of us collect voices in our lives and throughout the course of a year. And voices direct us, influence us, and shape us, whether we like it or not. Those that we spend time with really do shape our attitudes and beliefs and our behavior for good, the good, the bad, and the ugly. I mean, you hear quotes like this, show me your friends and I'll show you what? Your future. Show me your friends and I'll show you your future. How about this quote? You are the company you keep. Or some statistics show, you're the average of the five people you spend the most time with. Like all these things that show us, that, you know, if it's true, that means if we want to change, we want to be transformed, if we want to do this year differently, if we want to grow and be shaped, then it's likely we need to change the voices that we're listening to and also introduce new voices in their place, especially including the voice of God. And so most of the time, we're not intentional about which voices we listen to, are we? You know, you turn something on, it's kind of like in the background, you talk to people, you kind of have relationships with all kinds of people. Well, the challenge for you today, the challenge for me today, is that maybe it's time to audit those voices, to edit those voices that you're listening to, the what and the who, and to be intentional about who it is that we're allowing to be in our ears and our hearts and our minds this coming year. What's interesting is the Bible talks a lot about this, by the way. The Bible talks a lot about it, especially the ideas of who not to listen to, as well as the kinds of people that God actually speaks through. Do you know that it's most likely that you're going to hear the voice of God this year through the voice of other people? I mean, you're going to hear it through Scripture, of course. That's the primary way that God speaks. But God often speaks through people. And Scripture is clear about who we shouldn't listen to, about who God does not speak through, actually can be that misdirection or that detour, and about the kinds of voices that he does speak through. And we're going to start off today about how Scripture specifically warns us about three kinds of people that we should beware of listening to. And those three kinds of people, if you're taking notes, by the way, you can fill this out in your sermon notes, is the mocker, the narcissist, and the fool. Scripture talks about these three, by the way, lots and lots of times. The mocker, the narcissist, and the fool. Three kinds of people to beware of. Scripture that warns us about allowing to take over our hearts, our minds, and our ears. So first, the mocker. Well, you open the book of Psalms. Psalms is in the Old Testament. They're songs. They're song lyrics, ancient song lyrics. As soon as you open the book of Psalms, you start reading Psalm 1, you read this. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked or stand in the way that sinners take or sit in the company of who? Mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his law day and night. So what is a mocker? Well, a Dallas fan. Sorry, guys. I always have to throw that in. Never mind. A mocker. If that's not in the Bible, by the way, that's from your pastor. But what is a mocker? So it's kind of cool. The word mocker, you're still on that. That's funny. the word mocker, it appears actually 36 times in the Bible. It's really interesting. It's a person who mocks or speaks about others in a negative way. Somebody that constantly speaks about others in a negative way. And before we talk about the influence they have, I want to talk a little bit about what they do. Well, a mocker shows up only to point out everything wrong all the time. A mocker, you know, is someone, you know, we usually think of things, well, you know, to say, I need some truth-telling, though, and let me say this, that yes, we need to be told the cold, hard truth sometimes about things, that we need criticism, we need feedback, even especially as leaders, like, we need feedback in order to change things, in order for us to grow, and I'd say, yes, absolutely, it can't just all be, oh, you're doing a great job all the time, everything's so wonderful, like, we need those things, but a mocker is a critical person whose goal is to discourage. That's their goal. Not to give you feedback to be better and to help you along. No, it's to discourage you. And out there's all around us. I mean, you look at the news, for instance. News personalities that stoke fear left and right, all around. You have family members that are mockers, constantly talking about, oh, him and her, oh, what, they're awful, and this is bad, and this is bad. And that's not good for this, our spirit or the life that we want to lead. And I think this goes for whether you're a believer or not. There's great wisdom in the Bible, by the way. There's really, really good stuff there to pay attention to. So even if you're not a follower of Jesus, like, this is really good stuff to pay attention to. You know, I mean, I remember there was a time in my ministry early on when I was right out of seminary. I was a part of a little group of pastors from different churches. And we would get together periodically. The goal was to pray, to talk about like upcoming sermon series ideas, to talk about some issues in our church, to get feedback and advice for. But over time, and actually probably the second time we met gathered, all that we did was, get this, we just complained about our churches. Like, all the, I can't believe that one. Like, oh, I got one better than that. This person did that. And, oh my gosh, that everything's horrible and nobody's going to church anymore and I just want to go home. And, like, we just complained all the time. And like I said, this was a number of years back. And it just, like, got to me. And I started reflecting. I'm like, we're not praying. We're not scripture planning. We're just complaining the whole time. And then we're talking about the church down the street. Oh my gosh, they have, like, the smoke machine. Wow, they got the smoke machine. All these young people are going there now, and they're terrible. They must be, like, drugging people to get them to come, or I don't know what they're doing. And we just, like, complained about it all the time, and we became mockers. Looking back, we were the mockers. And I had to, like, extract myself from that, because I knew that that was not a good thing. That was not good for me. That was not a good environment to be a part of. I mean, I love what, if you continue in Proverbs 1, in verse 22, it says this, how long will you who are simple love your simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? You know, it's asking, how long will it take you to listen? You know, that sometimes, friends, we need to turn down the volume and lessen those voices in our lives. And let me say this, the mockers, even when we find ourselves to be, are not bad people. They're not evil. But what happens is it becomes very hard to see the light when we're taught to focus on only the dark. So what are we supposed to do? Well, I think what scripture wants us to do is to notice how those voices contribute to us, how they're contributing to our attitudes, and how they're influencing what we do and what we see. That we need to complement or supplement those voices with others, and like I said, to dial back the voice of the mocker. But then there's a second group of people that scripture talks about time and time again and warns us about listening to. So we have the mocker first. The second I want to go to is the fool. The fool. I mean, have you ever known something was wrong but did it anyway? Yeah, right? Remember that? You knew it was wrong, but you did it anyway. But see, knowing is not enough. We do foolish things if we're around foolish people. And, you know, peer pressure. You know, you remember when you were like in middle school and you got pushed to do this that you didn't want to do, but it was the cool thing to do. Like, it doesn't change when you grow up decades later. There's still peer pressure around us, influencing us. And I think God knew this. God knows this because a fool. You know, isn't that like a weird way to talk about people, by the way? You fool. There's like a, what was that, Hollywood Squares or something. You fool. That just repeated over and over again. But over 250 times in the Bible, the word fool is repeated. And Jesus talks about it. Jesus talks about the fool and the wise men. He talks about how to act, how people act foolishly and how their behaviors. But most of those 250 times in the Bible are warnings about listening to the fool. And the book of Proverbs, by the way, alone has 72 times. Wow, that's a lot, right? 72 times does it mention and warn us about fools. And some of them are funny, and some of them are like pretty, like just quick ones here. I just want to walk through a couple of them from Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Wow, that's pretty good, right? What about 10:14? The wise store up knowledge, but the mouth of a fool invites ruin. Ooh. What about 10:23? A fool finds pleasure in wicked schemes, but a person of understanding delights in wisdom. And then get this one, the most straightforward one. Stay away from a fool. Underline that, like, that's your resolution. Stay away from a fool, for you will not find knowledge on their lips. 250 warnings, friends. Like, that's a lot. And if the Bible repeats that as many times as it does, it's important to pay attention to, right? It's important. So what is a fool? Well, a fool is someone who is either ignorant or intentional. It's either ignorant or intentional. And let me say this, both can be very dangerous for us. So let's start off with the ignorant fool. So an ignorant fool is one who doesn't know what they don't know. They don't know. They're just like oblivious to it. I mean, there was a story on the news a while ago of how there was a man at a gas station pumping gas into his car. And it was like late at night, not good section of the city they were in. And two teenagers come up to the man, and one had a weapon and threatened him. And they got into the car, and he stood out, and they got into the car to carjack him. And they take the key, and they crank the engine. And then they realize that there's like a second pedal on the side of the car. And they try to press it, and all of a sudden, like the car just doesn't start. Well, they tried and tried again, and they just discovered in that moment that there is a kind of car, get this, that's called a manual transmission. And if you've never learned to drive one, it's not very easy to do. So they got out of the car and they ran away. I mean, that's like one of the benefits, right? Many of us don't know how to drive a manual, but fools, right? They didn't know what they didn't know. They didn't know what they didn't know. But ignorant can also mean that someone doesn't know, when we're talking about faith, when we're talking about God, someone doesn't know what God desires of them. Just somebody doesn't know how a godly person is supposed to act, or what God's wisdom is, or how a relationship should look. That person is ignorant because they're not seeking after God at all. And they can be well-intentioned too. They can be well-intentioned about the direction that they're going. They're seeking pleasure. They're trying to puff themselves up, right? But they're not open to learning, and they're not open to being wrong. I mean, even if you yourself, or you know someone that's been in recovery, it said this, that addiction starts in community but ends in isolation. You think about that. It's hard to resist drinking when you're around people, for example, that normalize it, and that's wherever you go, and everybody gets wasted, and everybody gets trashed. But then what happens is that begins to take you over, and pretty soon you're by yourself, doing it alone. Same thing with pornography. Same thing with eating. You know, you can be addicted to eating. Same thing with any kind of thing. Anything that even starts out to be good can then start off with something that's normalized by those around you, but then draws you into that dark place alone. Start off in the company of fools that may not even know what they're doing is going to lead you in a direction you don't want to go. You know, another example is gossip. Gossip. It's easy to join in without even knowing it. I mean, ever done that? You ever like gone out to lunch with somebody, or you're in conversation and you're talking about like the game, or you're talking about last week or work or whatever, and then pretty soon it's like, well, you know what she said? Oh my gosh, I can't believe it. Or, hey, did you see what he did the other day? I can't believe that. Like, he's not react. And all of a sudden you're just like talking about it, and you're drawn in. Well, that's a fool. That's being a fool. You could be ignorant. You know, and that's people in our lives that are not focused on God, or that are good for us, that draw us into places that we don't want to be. So that's the ignorant fool. But then the second kind of fool is the intentional fool. The intentional fool is different than the ignorant fool, because the intentional fool knows, but just don't care. Like, they know it, but they just don't care. And scripture uses really harsh language about this kind of fool. In Psalm 14, verse 1, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. Their deeds are vile. There is no one who does good. You know, some are evil, but some do so to take you down. They have a mission because if they're going down, they're taking you with them. They don't want to be alone in that. You've had that experience, right? Somebody that is willing to manipulate you to benefit them. I mean, and this doesn't just happen in our, like, friendships, relationships, work environments. This happens online too, friends. I mean, did you know that there are very powerful algorithms that take your social media content? Did you know that on your phone, as soon as you pause over something you're looking at, there is all this feedback that's going in, and guess what? You get more of the exact thing that you're watching. There's an intentional manipulative force there. Beware of it. Because there's an idea to say, I can make extra money on the clicks, on the presses, on the connections. You know, and I mean, and there's people that also desire that too. That they know, but they don't care about you. They're willing to use you. You know, it's people who are liars, cutting corners, and then wanting you to do that too, so they don't feel so bad about themselves. It makes it feel better, right? When it seems like everybody else is doing it, so I guess I'll do it too. So be careful. Be careful, friends, because it's very easy to meet a fool who's either ignorant or intentional. And that's why scripture is very clear here, to be aware of those voices that influence us, the mocker, the fool. But then the third one, the third is the narcissist. So what in the world is a narcissist? Well, actually, the word narcissist comes from Greek mythology. That's where we get it from. There's this story of this exceptionally beautiful man, and he looks for someone to be in a relationship with, and he looks all around the earth, and the story goes, this is, once again, Greek mythology, just made up. He sees a pool of water, and what does he see in the water? Himself, his reflection, and guess what? He just desperately falls in love with himself. That's a narcissist, right? Somebody who's desperately in love with themselves. And let me say this, when we say narcissist in this general setting that I'm talking about here, I'm not meaning like a clinical diagnosis, because there is a clinical mental health condition of narcissism. That's kind of an extreme version. But this is someone who is preoccupied with themselves and their own needs. Their own needs, their own pride. It's about me. It's about myself. And let me say this, we should care about ourselves, by the way. We should take care of ourselves. We should protect and love ourselves. I mean, even Jesus says that, like, love your neighbor as you love what? Yourself. You should love yourself. And it's not heroic to neglect yourself when you're trying to, like, help everybody else. That's not a good thing. But what we're talking about in the narcissist, we're talking about people who are excessively into themselves, who are selfish, and are characterized by behaviors they only take to get what they want. They're very rarely contributing. And what's so unhealthy about them? Well, three things here is that first, they view relationships as transactional. They use other people to meet their own needs. And in Proverbs 29:23 says this, a pride brings a person low, the narcissist that brings a person low, but the lowly in spirit gain honor. They push people down to elevate themselves. And they see others as only being valuable to them for what they can do for them. That's how they see you. You're like, what can she do for me? That's the only reason why I'm going to be her friend. It's the only reason why I'm going to be in there. You know, we all have experiences of this. I mean, I have a friend who's a doctor, went to medical school, a really good family doctor. And, you know, of course, anybody that's in the medical profession, you always get people that come up to you at random times. Get me, like, those of you that are nurses, doctors, like, I have a little ache here. What does it mean, right? Like, you know, do you know what this is? Can you look at this real quick? I have this mole on my back. And you're like, ah, you know, like all those things. Like, anybody in the medical profession, like, you get me, right? Like, you have people that come up and ask you questions all the time. And so he said that, of course, people ask him questions all the time, from his Aunt Susie to the lady down the street to the guy next door, all those things. And I asked him, like, you know, does that bother you? And he's like, actually, no. He's like, it just kind of comes with the turf. He says, but let me say this. He says, what bothers me is when the only time that person reaches out to me is when they need something. They never reach out to me for anything else or check in how I'm doing or to get together. It's always medical advice. Hey, how are you doing? Hey, I have a question about, like, that's the only reason. You know, and he said, as soon as I can't or I don't do that anymore, you know what happens? They drop me. It's a good sign, right? They only can use you for what they can get. So they view relationships as transactional. But the second part is that they lack compassion. They want you to understand how they feel, but rarely will they try to understand what you feel. And they're more likely to demonize someone than to try to see the world through their eyes. In the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul, when he writes the book of Romans, he says this very clearly. He says, rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn, live in harmony with one another. He says, do not be proud. Be willing to associate with people of low position. Don't be conceited. Don't look down at anyone. Even if you feel like they might be lower than you, that's a sign of pride and narcissism here. That's important to see the world through the eyes of others, even if it's not our experience. To take a moment and say, hey, you know what? I don't know what it's like to be blank, but maybe that's true. Maybe that's legit. Maybe that's that person's experience. That it allows us to connect with how someone else feels, even if we directly are not experiencing that. See, selfish people, narcissists, desperately want you to hear their problems, but never want to hear yours or help you. So beware. Beware, because we're tempted to drop everything for them. But then, like my doctor friend says, then as soon as there's something else that we need, we're cut off, right? We're dismissed, our needs and our views. We lack compassion. But then the third thing that characterizes narcissists is arrogance. Is arrogance, feeling self-entitled, seeing themselves as better. And that's why, friends, it's easy for someone who's a narcissist to be mean, to be dismissive, to use degrading language. I mean, and you see this, Paul writes in the book of 2 Timothy. He writes this to the church. He writes this to Timothy, one of his followers. He says, people will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, he keeps going, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And then what does he say there? His warning. Say this with me. Have nothing to do with such people. That whole list there. He says, when you think you're of yourself better than others, you know, isn't it easy to justify treating others badly? He says, beware. Don't have anything to do with that. You see that list, all those things? Watch how they treat people. Watch how they treat you. You know, it might take a little bit of distance. You know, when we're talking to people, you know, when you know, especially after church, some of us go out to lunch at places. You know what? It's important to see how people treat the wait staff, by the way. That'll tell you a lot about their character, about who they're about and what they do. If you're dating someone, great, pay attention to that too. How do they treat the cashier? How do they treat the server? They look down at them at all? Is it all about them? Because selfish people in our lives will hurt us. The narcissist lacks compassion, views your relationship as transactional, is arrogant, and that will hurt us. And not only that, friends, but you know what the greatest danger is for all these occasions? For whether it's, you know, the mocker, the narcissist, or the fool, you know what the greatest danger is? We become like them. You become like them. You are the company you, what? Keep. You are the voices that you listen to. And that over time, again and again, the more we take in, the more we become like them. So pay attention. I mean, I've seen this in my own life, that, you know, that you begin to justify things, right? You begin to justify calling people names. You begin to justify, you know, looking down at the world. You begin to justify, you know what, I'm going to use her. Like, she has a lot of money, so you know what? Like, we're going to go out and have a good time, and I'm kind of poor, you know, whatever. We do that. We begin to justify it, and we get to convince ourselves that everybody's that way, and God's like, pay attention, friends. The greatest danger is that you too will become like them. And when we do this, we stop moving in the direction of Jesus. See, scripture's clear over and over again, hundreds and hundreds of times, talking about those three voices to dial back. But then if we need to be aware of them and dial out those voices, we also need to dial in. We need to dial into a couple voices too, to replace those voices, or else there's a vacuum, right? And scripture mentions, we're just going to talk about these very quickly, three voices that God wants in our lives. First are the encouragers. Paul says in the book of 1 Thessalonians, therefore encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. You know, if the essence of the mocker is to tear down and to agitate, the antidote is to surround yourself with people that build you up. Maybe there is some feedback they need to give, but it's in a way to build you up, lead you in a good direction. It's an encourager helps us to see possibilities and what we can't see. They tell you the truth to make you better and not leave you there. Their goal is not to discourage you, but to lift you up. And that's what makes them different than the critic or the mocker. They're not here to agitate you or turn you cynical, but help you to open your mind and your heart and to help you get this, to keep you going down the right path. So look for them. Look for them around you. Look for them in the media, on social media, at work, at your job. Look it for the encouragers. Second group to listen to are the wise. The wise are the ones who are seeking after God and seeking after the way of life that God has. And you notice in Proverbs and in Psalms, when the fool is mentioned, in the next sentence, the wise is mentioned. They're both juxtaposed there to show you the comparison, to compare them to the fool. And I'd like to think about this. A wise person is someone who is a little bit further down a road that you want to walk. Do you have that person in your life? Do you have that voice in your life who's a little bit further down the road that you say, in 10 years, I want to be there. In 20 years, I want to be there. When I'm here, I want to be there. They're a little bit further down the road you want to walk. And they're not perfect, by the way. But they understand when they make mistakes and they admit them. And they help you become more of who God is calling you to be. Do you have them in your life? Do you have someone like that? Because guess what, friends? Wise people don't just drift into our lives. They don't. More likely, the other three will. But we need to be intentional about finding them and allowing ourselves to listen to them. A voice that we need doesn't draw us into selfishness. It is someone who is wise. But then the third voice to listen to is somebody who is humble. The humble. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 3 to 4 says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but to each of you to the interests of the others. The humble. Humble, if you think the wise are hard to find, the humble are harder. Why? Because they don't care about the credit. They're doing it anyway. They have high integrity and low visibility. The way that we can tell someone is humble is the way they lift other people up. They make space for them. They use their authority, even in positions of leadership, to make space for others below them. And they're hard to find, but when you do, take time to learn from the humble. Seek out the people who will help. See, so God points us in the direction to say, be warned of these voices, dial them back, but then turn up the volume of the humble and the wise, and turn up the volume of the encouragers to help you on that path. And this new year, friends, as we start off 2026, that's my challenge to you today, is to cancel the noise and to choose the right voice. Because if you're like me, you have a lot of voices that you've been listening to, that you are. You know, and just like the radio station and the noise around you, you have a choice. And it's good to evaluate. It's good to evaluate and to pay attention to the critics, the fools, the narcissists. It's good to notice them and to write down their names and to write them off and to never talk to them again. No, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is to lower the volume. To dial them back. I mean, they may need you in their life for a reason too. But that doesn't mean that you need to absorb everything that comes out of them. And to seek out who's an encourager. Who's someone a little bit further down the road in the path that you want to be, a wise person. And the humble person that's serving and following Jesus and showing you the heart of God. So friends, my prayer for you this new year is that you would be discerning, that I would be discerning, that we would be discerning of the voices around us. And just like the Magi, maybe we too will have our own epiphany and find Jesus in an unlikely place at the center of it all. So why don't I pray for us?